Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and, frankly, appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your dream is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to MLS Box to Box on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
And it says it's, oh, look at that. They fixed that, so it's recording. Awesome.
All right, and good stuff. Cool. And so perfect. Is Jimmy's mic. It's working as well. Very exciting as well. So I'm glad that we pivoted, guys, to focus on more MLS this season with Box to Box and with our Three Questions podcasts. We did deliberate, should we, shouldn't we, but yes, we should. And then this article came out this past week from Sportico about MLS and about its success. Essentially, the top 50 most valuable clubs in world football, 20 are from MLS. So thanks to us, I'm pretty sure there's no coincidence here. The valuations are as such largely because of Footy Prime's Box to Box podcast. So you are welcome, Major League Soccer. We have a guest today, Jimmy Brennan, Dan Wong, Amy Walsh, Craig Forrest, James Sharman, from Apple, from MLS Season Pass. He's also a podcast veteran as well. Andrew Wiebe joins us. Andrew, welcome for the first time to Footy Prime, the podcast. How are you doing?
Am I a partner in soccer? Do you have such a moniker? Do you have a, you know, something that you'll label your most famous guests? Of course, I don't know if I'm famous, but maybe most liked at the end of this. We'll see. First time's the best time, right?
Well, we had Kaylin on and Sasha as well.
Oh, well, I'm
so
sorry.
You should be the most popular.
All that back. All that, you know, any sort of ego play you might have felt there has been deflated. Sasha and Kaylin are the best of the best. So I walk away.
You're already better than Kaylin.
Kaylin's going to be on Extra Time in just a second. Jimmy, I'll let him know that you said that. I'll direct quote, right?
Yes.
Now, welcome to the show. Andrew, let's talk about that Sportico report. As I mentioned, there are 50 most valuable teams in the world. Manchester United, number one. Now, this is based on a variety of metrics, including future potential, and obviously with there being no cap, being a cap in MLS, with there being no promotion relegation, all factors, and we understand that. But still, I mean, you've been involved in this league for a long time. You know, inside and out. This is a big moment, isn't it? This is a big deal.
It is a big moment, but I don't think it should not be a surprising moment. Certainly not based on the level of investment that's coming into the league. Like, if you think that people are just going to invest in this, the people that have the amount of money that it takes to do it and to grow it without due diligence, without seeing, modeling without believing in the future of that property, or in this case, I wouldn't call it property. I would just call it sort of community assets. You're crazy. Like, there's a reason why the league has grown the way it has and the level of investment has grown the way it has. It's because people believe in the potential, and I think rightfully so. You know, it's multifaceted to me when you look at these rankings, and I didn't go look at their math. You know, Forbes does it. Everybody seems to do it. So you always have a different metric. But I think there's a combination of things. One is, yes, the future play, but primarily it's the market, right? North America, the United States, is the economic driver in the world, right? Like, you know, maybe you have some very few competitors, but to be involved in that market changes your ability to bring in revenue. And that's what Sportico is talking about primarily as well. So I think you see every other league in the world trying to get in here. And MLS is in a unique position because we're here and we have a footprint. And that's part of this as well. You look around the league, one of the biggest growth factors I've seen is just facilities. And that comes with real estate. And that comes with value. And those facilities, when I started, I mean, I remember interviewing Peter Vermes after Kansas City Wizards games in the referee, well, I guess umpire's locker room. I'm so dug into soccer now that I can't even call an umpire the right word. In their umpire locker room, while he leaned against a, you know, a partition between the urinal and the toilet. You know, it was an independent league baseball stadium. They didn't have a training facility, really. Now you look at Kansas City, just as an example, you have one of the best stadiums in the world of that size. You have a training facility that any club in the world would love to have. And now you have that times 29, and with more clubs coming, it makes sense to me. I understand why the valuations are that way. And I'm excited to be a part of MLS and to have seen it from much more humble days to now.
Yeah. I also think as well, they're independent clubs, but on the commercial side, they all work together, which would increase their valuation as well. And I think with Europe, they don't do that. And clubs independently work alone. So I think there's huge value on the commercial side with all these clubs.
Yeah. And not just that, but like, look, Soccer United Marketing, I'm not saying anything that's not publicly known, right? We all know this. You know, the events that happen here, the biggest matches, the biggest events, a lot of that's organized by Soccer United Marketing. So you have to give massive credit, I think, to the leadership at MLS and the owners for recognizing where this was all going or could go and trying to be, you know, part of it and a driver of it. And ultimately, that's what every club in the world is trying to do, is to tap into what's going on around them, get the most excitement out of the people that love the game, and introduce as many people as possible to the game and to their club. And I still think we're at a very early stage of that for MLS, just in terms of capturing soccer fans. That's what excites me outside of the obvious, which is I love the game. I love the players. I love the coaches. I think it's a fascinating league to watch and cover, but I'm in it in large part because I believe at the end of my career, I can look back and know that I helped build something. You know, that this league, this culture in North America for the professional game, as well as grassroots, is part of the legacy that I want to lead. And I know that I'm just a very, very small piece of that, but that's also what makes it fun to be on a podcast with all of you, to go to events and talk to people who feel that same passion. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what makes me excited about working in this business and in this sport in particular, is that I love it. I want it to grow. And when I go down, I want to see it at a completely different level. Of involvement, of investment, of, you know, entertainment, of opportunity for everybody at every level. So it's an exciting time. There's no doubt.
It's a great point. Yeah. It's the whole industry that's been created the last 20 years or so, you know, around itself. But let's be honest, Andrew, the most impressive thing, we can talk about numbers and metrics and all that kind of stuff well over my head, but it's the quality of football on the pitch. How that's taken leaps and bounds in the last 20 years. Even like Jimmy will tell you, back in 2007, TSC kicks off, he was there. How the game's grown from those days as well. You know, you watch an MLS product now or on Apple, or you watch it live in the stadium. It's a proper legitimate experience now, from the football to the fan experience to everything. It's that growth, I think, that to me is more impressive than just simply the X's and O's and the numbers, the financials.
And Jimmy would tell you there were great players in your era, right? There were great players, there were great teams, there were great coaches. I just think we're at an en masse point where the investment level, the opportunity level is just so much higher. Ultimately, in anything, anytime you're trying to attack talent, whether I was trying to get the best accountants in the world or the best soccer players, that costs money. So as you spend more money and get yourself into different brackets, you're going to have more opportunities. And as more players choose MLS, the more that opportunity makes sense for other players. Beckham was one of the originals to do that. You know, Thierry and others came in the interim, Robbie Keane, et cetera. American players coming back made that more available to Americans and Canadians as well. Mm-hmm. But man, Lionel Messi just opens the world to a different player. I think you see that with a guy like Redondo in Miami. Mm-hmm. In different iterations, that one, the investment to get him never would have happened. And two, he might have chosen to go somewhere else. He might have decided that this is not the place for him to develop, because ultimately that's still what he's doing. So I just think that, one, investment, that's the most important thing. That's what it takes to attract the best talent. But two, the opportunities, because, you know, Jimmy, in your day, we're talking about half the teams.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you simply can't get, there's not roster spots to get as many players. And when there's, you know, competition is going to be fierce, but even now in 29 teams, I think it's even more so. Now you have more robust homegrown setups that are injecting talent and kids that can compete at that level. Yeah, it's a different world. I remember covering the first DP signing for Sporting Kansas City, and it was a Brazilian guy named Jefferson who had barely played in the first division in Brazil, and he was a designated player. And now look at what we're doing. Now Sporting Kansas City fans are saying, hey, Alan Pulido is not enough. We need more. Fill those DP spots. There's just a different urgency, a level of required investment, I think, to compete, and that is only a good thing. And I can happily say that the soccer is much better than it was when I started covering this league back in 2008, 2009.
Do you think, Andrew, that the actual lack of relegation promotion, which we actually like, is a part of the actual fees and why the actual franchises are actually worth what they are without that relegation? Because it obviously keeps their investment pretty safe.
I mean, I can't, like, I'm not an economist. I'm not in the boardroom, but I think that's pretty clear that when you invest that level, and not just in purchasing, but in building stadiums and buying players and trying to compete at what you hope is the highest level, that you have an expectation that you're the investment and the thing that you agreed to is going to stay the same. So I do think there's a level of stability that ownership has in MLS to just say, like, let's go for it. You know, we might have a bad season, but you know what? Let's go for it the next season. And fortunes can change quickly in this league.
Right.
So I have no issue with it. I understand that our culture is different than other cultures. We're not building from the same place. We don't have the same expectations. We don't have 150 years or 100 years or whatever it is of sort of history with the game and a professional organization or just amateur organization. So North America is doing what's right for North America. I don't think we should be ashamed of that. I don't think we should ever apologize for that. Like, it's our responsibility to grow the game in our home, not as a carbon copy of somewhere else, as successful and amazing as the UEFA Champions League or Premier League or Bundesliga or Serie A or Ligue 1 or whatever it is are. Like, let's borrow and steal. Let's find the right solution for us. I don't feel personally any pressure to copy anyone else. North America, the United States, and Canada, we are best in class at so many things. Not everything, and there are many things we could be better at, but I do think that there's expertise here and there's an understanding of what this market wants, and I think MLS is starting to give people that, and I think every year that goes by will just be another sort of feather in the cap of making that progress.
Do you think that where the league is at in terms of growth and all of the elements of the ecosystem that you just talked about in your previous answers, and what Messi has afforded the league in making it attractive to players, but also in terms of what owners are making and what they're getting on their dollar in the return. Do you think that this is a point now in the run up to 26 where Garber has the foresight to think, will we remain as attractive as a league, as a brand post Messi? He's got to have his eye on that, right?
I think everyone has to have their eye on that.
Yeah.
You know, that comes to an end. You know, and I think about that often, enjoying Messi. And it doesn't come in the sense of like, oh God, what will we do? What will the league do? What will the game do? It more comes in the sense of, oh God, I better enjoy every second of this. And oh God, we better take advantage of every second of this. But I think I start with the first one, because I think the first one is what draws people in. And ultimately, that's what you have to do with Lionel Messi, is draw people in. He is a singular force in terms of the way he sees and plays and interprets the game. My God, this might be it for the greatest player of all time for all of us to watch. And that happens on our shores. against our teams in our competitions, and he seems just as motivated as ever to win and be the absolute best in all of the above. Like, I just want to soak it in, and I want to give as many people around me the opportunity to experience it as I can. And when I go coach my kids' soccer team on Sunday mornings, most of those parents don't know a thing about professional soccer. They all know about Messi. They all want to ask me about Lionel Messi. All their kids have Messi jerseys. The amount of Lionel Messi jerseys I see walking around in New Jersey on children is absurd. Like, I went to buy my kid cleats, and I'm at the store. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't have any Messi jerseys. And the guy's like, yeah, we sell out of them within a week of getting them every time. So I definitely think you have to think about the after. But to me, the most important thing is the here and now, and showing and letting as many people experience and enjoy Messi and MLS, and then hopefully seeing the other side, which is that, you know, look, the Red Bulls didn't give their best show, but that there's a ton of talent outside of just one man, and he may be the shining light, but there's a lot of other things to care about and to appreciate in our league.
But I mean, the point is, though, that at this point, Messi he transcends MLS. He's bigger than the league. Back at, you know, Barca and La Liga, as big as he was, I don't think he ever transcended those clubs or that league because of their history. They've been around for 100 years.
You don't think in that moment that Lionel Messi globally was bigger than Barcelona?
Than Barcelona? Well, that's, it's a good question. I think Ronaldinho was massive at the time. Messi was bigger, of course, but they had a storied history of superstars. And you go anywhere in the world, you find Barcelona shirts, kids wearing
Ronaldinho. What's bigger? Napoli or Maradona?
Well, Maradona, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, Serie A has been on bad times in recent years, right?
Barcelona's been on bad times. I would argue if you talk to individuals around the world, who cares about Messi more or who cares about Barcelona more, it will be Messi in a landslide.
I think there's a bit of recency bias there, though. And listen, I'm a Messi guy. I understand the brand, the draw. I get it all. There's still a case he made that Ronaldo's a bigger brand.
You guys can get along. You can agree, eh? Just so
I don't think that your point is wrong. I'm sort of playing devil's advocate, but at the same time, I think there's an element of global fandom that's not club based.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think a lot of it is player based, and I would just argue that Messi's place within the game was bigger than a single club, even Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I don't agree 100%. I think the history of those clubs is such that as the years go by, we'll look back and look upon Barcelona as this enormous brand. Listen, regardless, it's subjective.
Well, the club gives them a platform.
Not. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But listen, taking nothing from Messi. But I've got to ask you this.
They're not playing.
Right. Yeah. Well, Messi probably could because he started his own club. He did.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's that's anybody, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But that's where they get their name. But with Barcelona, they attract the top players. And those types of clubs elevate those players' profiles. Where you look at Johan Cruyff, when you look at Messi, and wherever they go, these players, certain Real Madrid's another club that elevates players.
Mm-hmm. I get it. And I'm not saying that they're small. I'm just saying in the moment, if you were talking about where true affinity lies and who had more, it's the player at that time more than it was the club because clubs split. People are Madrid fans. People don't like Barcelona. But I think Messi, more than a single club, was something that soccer fans en masse could identify with, could appreciate, could root for, could feel a connection to. I think just in bigger numbers. That's my only argument. I'm not saying the clubs are small. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that there's a difference in the sort of the widespread appreciation of one player versus one club.
For sure.
I would agree with that.
There's also a reason why the top players in the world only go to certain clubs.
I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, I'd say I agree with you in the lens of the whole global sporting fandom, right? People probably know Messi more than Barcelona, for example. If you're a baseball fan but not a soccer fan, you know Messi. You might not know who Barcelona is within the football world. That's all I'm saying. But I want to talk about this because, you know, we try and cover the league as a whole. I know you guys do as well in Apple. And you don't want to look biased, nor do we, but you cannot not talk about Inter Miami and Leo Messi. And we find ourselves kind of forced, you know, every week, we've got so many great storylines here, but how can we ignore what's happening right now in South Florida, right? It's something very special. And perhaps we should just celebrate that and not worry about people accusing us of being blinkered.
No, look, how can you ignore it? You can't, because we're all going to talk about it, right? I mean, there's a level of greatness that comes with Lionel, and not just in his individual ability, and this goes to what you're saying, Jimmy, is in his collective ability, you know, and what he brings out of teammates and how he elevates a club. Because I still think you would argue that he elevated Barcelona. He elevated great players around him. Sure, they helped him as well, but that's the most impressive thing to me, is he's just a magnifier. You put him anywhere, and that's why I think he's the MVP. All the players around him all of a sudden are in better positions, have a clear understanding of what they can and can't do or should do on the field. And he just inspires. I mean, Robert Taylor, Finiesta is a great example of that. I even think Matias Rojas coming in, very good player, very good player. But immediately you see the moments that he is going to have because of Messi. The first goal, the space at the top of the box that he's afforded because everything tends to shift toward Lionel. The second goal, the through ball is otherworldly. What other player on the field, what other player in his career is regularly executing, let alone seeing that particular pass? So I think we have to watch, because you don't know the level of greatness that you're going to see every single week. And that has been the consistent thread throughout Lionel's career, is that he can do things that other people can't do. And more importantly, he does them consistently. So right now for me, it's Miami, it's the Crew. If you're talking about teams that have a level above and beyond anyone else in the league, it's those two teams, and it's so interesting the different ways that they do them. Miami obviously just stacked from top to bottom with talent, and they've done a good job at the bottom of the roster developing talent as well and using young players. And then the Crew, I think, is a little bit different in the sense that they have Cucho, they have Diego Rossi, but you would argue talent-wise, they're not at the same level of Inter Miami, but collectively and from an ideas perspective, they are this sort of like meteor in MLS terms, in the way that they play, and not just that, in the way that they've gotten the results with that style of play. So, yeah, don't stop watching Miami. Every single game they play is going to be another opportunity to see something you've never seen before. But I agree with you, and that doesn't mean that you close your eyes to the rest of the league. If anything, it just gives you a new lens to see other clubs, other projects, and other players.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
You mentioned the Crew. I'm happy you did, actually, because they are, you know, if not the favorites, second favorites once again to defend their crown, although they haven't won in the league since March the 16th, I believe. But who cares? It's MLS. It's still early, and they're doing great things in the Champions Cup right now. Is that, do you think, for a team like the Crew at this point, that's the priority? Let's get that. Let's do that, and then we'll worry about the MLS as it happens.
It's absolutely the priority. I talked to Wilfred Nancy yesterday, and he's not too concerned about that run, you know, five straight draws and a loss. I think what he's more concerned about is just being in the right place to make history. You know, ultimately, the whole like impossible is an opinion, you know, dream big, go for the absolute top. That's not an act. That's not something that Wilfred just says. It seems to be something that's permeated the entire organization. And I think belief is incredibly powerful. And it's maybe something that MLS teams have lacked in the past, particularly in relation to Mexico. And that's where I think Leagues Cup has massive value for MLS in a competitive sense. Like, we have to develop belief that our players, our style of play, our clubs can compete with the boogeyman, basically. And I think that the performances in Monterrey, both against Tigres and Monterrey, were examples of the Crew sort of confronting that boogeyman and just saying, you know what, we're not going to shrink back. We're not going to change ourselves. We're not going to be different than what we would like to be. We're going to be our best selves, and if that works, awesome. But don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Don't change. And it's such a powerful message, I think, for MLS and other clubs that will be in that position. Sometimes you have to change, but my hope would be is that all 29 clubs can come with a project, with a vision, with, you know, from top to bottom sort of development of both of those things to compete on a daily basis with Liga MX and not just the middle tier or bottom tier that we saw get whooped up in Leagues Cup with the top tier. So I'm inspired by the crew. I joke around, you know, with their PR staff, and he just signed a new contract, Wilfred. I said, you know what? I'll match that contract. I'll go into big time debt for that. He can be my life coach. At the end of it, I promise you I'll be able to pay back that debt. Like, he just seems to have that effect on people. And that's the thing I'm most impressed about with Wilfred. Like, the tactical ideas, all that stuff, amazing. To get the players that he has playing at that level and believing that that's with not just within their capabilities, but the norm, that's a huge, incredible undertaking. And he's done it twice with Montreal and then with the crew. And I expect he'll do it again someday, probably not on our shores.
Well, he's a man, right? I mean, Cucho found that out, didn't he? That don't mess with what. Did we find out what happened there exactly?
We didn't find out. And I think that's a credit to Wilfred Nancy. It would be very easy for this to get out. It would be very easy for the reason or the conflict or the conversation or whatever it was that crossed the line. And it clearly was something that didn't just cross the line, but jumped over it with 2 feet. Because otherwise, you don't suspend your best player for 2 games. You don't say, you know what, he has to miss a make or break matchup against Tigres. So I give credit to Wilfred Nancy. He did it calmly. He addressed it when he had to. He got a little bit contentious at times when he felt like it was getting pushed, but that was him, I think, protecting the player, but more so protecting the culture. And when you see that culture escape outside of the locker room, oftentimes I think that's where you really understand there are bigger issues here, and not everybody is sort of on board with what's happening. There's been a reason to go outside the group. But when it stays inside the group, something this traumatic is not the right word, because I don't know what it is, but missing your best player for 2 games, including Champions Cup, has to feel a little traumatic. But this serious, and for it not to get out, that tells me Wilfred's got complete control and that his players trust and respect him and respected the decision. Just look at Cucho since. Have you seen a other than the red card he got because he was getting beat down in that game, have you seen him react? Have you seen him lash out in any way? I haven't. I've seen his best. And that's a really shining example of leadership, I think, from Wilfred.
Yeah, we have a weird connection with Columbus here in Canada, obviously, with Wilfred doing what he did in Montreal and Bezpachenko doing what he did with TFC as well. It's uncomfortable. We don't like to like them, but there's something about them, you know, because apparently they are TFC's rivals, apparently.
But, hey, at least happened, Bez gave you some good times too, right? He gave the Six some cups. Did. So,
Yeah, but the celebrations ever since he left, I mean, my word, it's been nonstop. It's been a great experience as a TFC supporter here.
Ebbs and flows, Shane.
You're right. Actually, regarding TFC, does it get much play south of the border? What's kind of the feeling down there?
Yeah, no, I think it hasn't in recent history because of the results. Results get play. That's just the way it goes. And the disappointment, well, I guess the drama did. You know, Vapegate and everything else with Bernadeschi and Insigne. But it's starting to grow. And I think it's growing because, one, the results, but two, because of the personalities. And number one for me is Herdman. You know, John Herdman, I covered closely with Canada, and I sort of understood very rudimentary, like, the aura and the motivational side and almost the guru aspect of his personality and the way he manages. And I think we're starting to see that week to week in MLS, and it's pretty fascinating. Speaking of ebbs and flows, I just joked about, there have been big time ebbs and flows. It felt like the first ebb, you were like, oh my God, everything is fixed. It's going to be great. Insigne scoring bangers and nobody else is doing much, but that might last. And then, oh, flow, injuries, issues, no results. You're like, well, this is the real Toronto FC. And now we're back. And what I give him the most credit for is the back line. The back line has been a mess. And now they lead the league in shutouts. Like, if that's going to be at least 1B in your identity, 1A being we have two players that are probably better than any of your players, and Insigne and Bernadeschi, you've got a chance in this league. If you compete and you don't give up bad goals, you will make the playoffs. If you do those two things and you have arguably the best two players on the field in any game, you might make some noise in the playoffs. And so this is MLS in a nutshell. Change can come quick. And sometimes belief is important. And it feels like this team believes that they are better and more prepared than they were last year.
Yeah, that is a word that we keep hearing from those players. Belief, belief, belief. That and brotherhood. John loves the word brotherhood.
Has he got a sword yet? Or do we have a sword?
There's got to be something in that room, right? There has to be.
So, I mean, look, I love a good prop. So we'll get one, John.
Where do you go from there, though? You have a sword with the men's national team. What's your next prop?
I think it's a shield, isn't it?
I mean, I guess.
Throne. Shield? You need a throne.
I think
you could do it with a helmet.
We're combining, Game of Thrones, the Iron Throne. It's made of swords. This could be our next step for John Herdman.
Or a dragon.
It's tough to bring that on the road, though, isn't it? No,
that's a much better step.
What about platforms? Make them a little bit taller, maybe.
Oh, that's helpful. Andrew, you also cover, I wanted to switch gears a bit, you also cover U.S. men's national team, and we've been going through our own drama up here in Canada with a new president of the Federation. You guys had some crazy drama with Berhalter and Reyna. Where's that sitting now? Desch is hurt. How is U.S. men's team going into the Copa? How does that kind of, what's an update on that?
I mean, I think the Serginho Dest injury is, that's really deflating. And this is sort of the period of time that we're in before a major tournament. We're all, no matter what country, you're covering or rooting for or hoping does well, this is that tiptoe around a little bit moment. Like, you want to see your players in the best possible form, but most of all, you don't want to see him hurt. So I really felt for Serginho in that moment. And he's had some wild moments with the U.S. as well, but is such a crucial player. I think the Reyna stuff I think it's mostly gone. And I think that's a credit to both Reyna and Berhalter, but also just pragmatism. Like, Reyna needs this. Berhalter needs Reyna. There's just a level of mutual reliance. Mm-hmm. When it comes into these big high leverage moments, when you are one of the best players on the team. So I'm much more concerned about the lack of playing time at club level for Gio Reyna than I am about any lingering or existing drama. The one thing I'll say about Greg Berhalter, and this is basically straight through the player's words, is that the culture that he's built, to go back to that word, and I know it's kind of hard to nail down, but I truly do just think it comes with a group of people that believe in the direction that you're taking them. Those players believe in it. And they believe in each other. And I think that is what's going to be the salve for any wounds that were there more than anything else. His teammates, Gio Reyna's teammates, saying, welcome back into the fold. This is what we're doing. Are you on board? He says, yes. And off and running you go. Like, I think this group has such big goals and such a high ceiling in North American terms. Like, let's not kid ourselves. We're not Spain or, even England or Germany or whatever. There's not a tradition of winning at these levels just yet. But I think the potential is so high and the stakes are so big for both the U.S. and Canada going into 2026 that you just have to leave the past in the past. And I hope both countries are able to do that. And I am watching with bated breath to see who you all hire. I'm very curious.
So are we, trust
to
us.
See who gets the job.
Yeah, it's a process.
Now they're all going to New York, so we'll find out.
That's what the meetings are taking place, apparently, yeah. No, we have very similar battles between Jimmy and Amy, right? They dislike each other. There's terrible history there, but they need each other. We need them. So,
well, but the culture, the culture of Footy Prime just, it solves everything.
It's hard being the guru. It's hard.
No one transcends us, let me tell you.
I didn't know no individual could be hoisted on me.
You don't have a prop, but we can solve that as well.
Oh, there are props.
Yeah, we are the props, actually. You're right. Yeah. Andrew, thank you. This is fun. Really enjoyed this. We love your work on Season Pass each and every week. So keep it up. Say hi to the gang for us, and we'll love to get you back at some point.
Yeah, of course. And Jimmy, if you ever want to argue semantics about Messi versus Barcelona, we can put somebody else to sleep with that argument. But no, I appreciate all you guys' time. I love covering the league, and hopefully we're up in Canada for a big game this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let us know when you get up here, and we'll definitely make an effort to make it out to the game for once, eh, guys? Yeah, we'll get onto TFC's PR and demand a box.
Beer's on you. Beer's on you.
They love absolutely. Us.
They love us, yes. All right, Andrew, thanks so much, mate. Really enjoyed this.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
This has been MLS Box to Box, courtesy Footy Prime. Don't forget we have Three Questions Montreal, TFC Vancouver, available, if not already, then by the time you listen to this, check it out. Big weekend on FuboTV.com. All your CPL matches and Premier League matches. FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Subscribe, like us on YouTube, and check out WeAreFootyPrime.com. Bye. Till next time. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Great stuff, Andrew. That was really great.
Really good. Yeah.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.